All right, so that is a praise. Another baby. So, hallelujah. Praise God. So, welcome, Grandpa, Great-Grandpa. Great-Grandpa. Okay. All right. So, another praise. So, you know, they keep saying that, you know, the population's down, but I don't know. There's been a lot of babies born lately, kind of in our group. So, hopefully we'll keep going. So, congratulations, Rex. So today we're going to be on faith again in Luke chapter 17. And I've got to get there, so you guys are probably already there. And so I'm going to do a short little series on faith. And I don't know if you all needed this, but I did, or I do. So, you know, it's amazing. I do have faith, but I don't think I use it as well as I should most of the time. And so God's probably like, you need this, Bob. So, we're at Luke 17. We're going to look at a story today. Kind of ties along with the story from last week. Now, in the handout, it says, the strength of your faith will show in your actions, your witness, your testimony, your speech, and basically your life. So that's why we need to be very careful how we react to the people around us, because they're seeing us, they're watching us, and they want to see how we react under certain situations, okay? And so last week, what did Naaman have to do to get cleansed in the story?
Wash in the river.
What's that?
Wash in the river 7 times.
Okay, so you had to wash how many times?
Seven
times. In the right river, too, right? What was that river? I'm just painting it, seeing if you guys remember. Okay, so you guys were awake last week. So he had to do something. So faith is believing in something and taking action. I guess that would be my definition of it. So he had to do something. Okay? Good intentions don't show your faith. A lot of times I have good intentions to do things, but I don't show that. Somebody's throwing things at me now. All right. I'm going to have to keep an eye on Kim over there, I'll tell you. All right.
And he also had to do the right thing. He had washing in the right river.
Right. The right amount of times in the right river. You're right, Sharon. So he had to do something. So today we're going to look about kind of a story that kind of goes right along with this. So let's go to Luke 17, and I'm going to read 11 through 19. And then we'll back up and see if we can unpack the story a little bit. And again, this is nothing new. We've all heard these stories before, but we'll see what God has for us today. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and we're talking about Jesus. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were what?
Lepers.
Which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Remember last week I talked about in the Bible, it says that, you know, if you have leprosy, you could only be cleansed. It never talks too much about healing it, but you can be cleansed of it. And leprosy is a type of what?
Sin.
And so, you know, you never truly get healed of that sin, but you can get cleansed through the blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a what? A Samaritan. I'm sorry, I'm answering my own questions. I asked you, and I jumped right in that. So, okay, verse 17. And Jesus answered, said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Again, wonderful story about a man, some men in the Bible that get cleansed from their leprosy. And so let's look at just the facts of the story. And so Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And let me give you a little background. In the book of, or the Gospels of Luke, from chapter 13 through 19, take place on the way to Jerusalem when Jesus goes back to Jerusalem for his triumphal entry. So he's on the way back to Jerusalem to die on the cross. And he, next bullet point says he just happened to be going through a certain village. Like the story of the lady at the well in John 4, 4 at the beginning of his ministry. He's going through the same location here. But, in fact, hold your finger in Luke and turn over to John 4. John 4, 4 says, well, let's back up to verse 1. We'll get the context. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. And then he cometh to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And there's a well there, and there's a woman that comes. So we know the rest of the story, but my point is, that was at the beginning of his ministry. He's going through Samaria, and he has to go through a certain town in Jerusalem. Now, do you think Jesus had an agenda?
Yeah.
Obviously, he did. Mm-hmm. So same way here, he's on his way back to Jerusalem to be crucified, and he just happened to go to a certain city. I think that was all planned out, because not only the first time with the lady, there was a lady he needed to meet, and she went and told everyone. Another fantastic story about somebody's faith. And yet, on the way back, at the end of his ministry, he's going through the same area, and he meets these men. So it has to be a certain city or a certain location. And like this story, just like in the story in John 4, 4. But here there are 10 lepers, 10 men that come out to meet him. So, unlike the first story where Jesus goes to them and the lady comes, here these men are specifically looking for Jesus as he comes to the city, okay, or this village. And there are 10 lepers. 10 in the Bible is a number of Gentiles. Just thought I'd throw that out. And these 10 lepers stood afar off. Now, why did they?
They were unclean.
They were unclean. And according to Jewish law, they had to stand back from people because it was a contagious disease. And so they're standing back. And so they're probably not just whispering to Jesus. I'm trying to think of this story in my mind, and I would imagine they're a little on the loud side because they're wanting Jesus to hear them. Okay? And they, in fact, the Bible says they lifted up their voices. So I don't think it was just a regular voice. I think they're crying out. Okay? And they're wanting Jesus to hear them. And they said unto Jesus, have, you got three blanks.
Mercy
on us. And Jesus, like the story of Naaman, gave them a command. Go show yourselves to the priest. Now, again, hold your finger here and let's go back to Leviticus 14:2. I think that's in your handout. And we're going to see why he tells them to go to the priest. Verse 2 says, and this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his, what?
Cleansing.
He shall be brought unto the priest. And so the law was, if your leprosy was cleansed, you were to go and show the priest, and he would pronounce you clean or unclean. Either way, so when they were cleansed, he would pronounce them clean. But in this story, they're not cleansed yet.
But Jesus tells them to go and show themselves so that they have to have faith that, okay, something's going to happen on our way to the priest. We're going to become clean as we get to the priest.
And they could have been like maybe Naaman at the first and thinking, oh my gosh, again, I thought Jesus could come over and touch me. I thought he would heal me on the spot. But no, he tells me to do something. And so they have to obey what Christ said. Mm-hmm. Just like Elisha told them that Naaman, you know, to go do something. So Jesus tells them to go do this. They had to have the faith that, like you said, Sharon, that on the way to the priest, they would be healed, and that's exactly what happened. Okay. And so they were cleansed as they, you have a blank, went to the priest. Okay. Now, only one, go back to the book of Luke, only one goes back to thank Jesus. And you're thinking, now wait a minute. Okay. You read this and you just go, wow. You know, you just like, we think people today are unthankful. They were back then too. Yeah. I always try to make a point of telling people thank you. It doesn't hurt me at all to do that. Mm-hmm. And people, it kind of shocks some people. Mm-hmm. I don't care where you're at. Gas station, grocery store, whatever. You know, just a nice thank you goes a long way. Mm-hmm. And I promised I wouldn't tell my stories today, but I got to tell you this one. I was in an airport in North Carolina getting ready to go to catch another flight. And I was sitting at the gate, and I had some time. So I'm watching this airplane come off, the people off this airplane come off, and this plane was late. And I'm watching them come up, and the lady at the desk is telling them, hey, you guys, the flight's late. We know you are. You got to run to a certain gate and basically walk, but walk briskly. Don't waste time because you've only got 5 minutes to get there and get on the plane. And so these people are like, okay, thank you. And they're running. And one lady comes up, and she just starts railing on this lady. My gosh. You know, why is this happening? This shouldn't be. And she just went on this lady, just kind of screaming at her. I kind of felt bad for the lady that was taken. And she just took it and she goes, well, ma'am, you're going to have to hurry. But this is what you need to do. Okay? And so I'm sitting there, and then right after she kind of leaves, there's another lady that she gets off. And she goes, can you tell me what gate I need to get on my next flight? And the lady goes, well, you're going to have to hurry, but it's gate whatever. And you go down here, make a right, go and just keep walking until you'll see the signs and you'll be there. And she goes, well, she goes, I just want to thank you for telling me that. And she goes, oh, I'm sorry. She goes, and I will call them and tell them to hold the gate till you get there. And I'm sitting there watching this whole thing, and I'm like, the first lady that was kind of nasty, she didn't get much. She got what she needed to get there. This lady came and just had a thankful, humble attitude. And the lady says, I'll call them and have them hold the gate for you. And I thought, that's what being thankful and showing it will do for you. And I'll never forget that. And I thought, that's good. But anyway, only one goes back. So we're going to look at that. And he glorifies God in a loud voice. Now let's look at this. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified Jesus. Is that what it says? He glorifies God. So he's connecting Jesus with God here. Okay. I want to point that out. He glorifies God. He glorifies Jesus in a loud voice. And he fell down. Now, if you think, okay, Bob, you're just kind of overstating the fact here. But he fell down at God's feet, or Jesus' feet, and he gave him thanks. Is that what it says? Let me go back and look at it. Verse 16. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He's basically bowing himself and worshiping Jesus as God. So that's my point. He's realizing and he's admitting that Jesus is God in the flesh here. And he was a Samaritan. Okay? The Bible says that. He was a Samaritan. But the other nine were nowhere to be found.
I have a question.
Yes.
So did that one ever actually go to see the priest? Because it never... It doesn't say, does it? It says, as they went, they were healed. And when that one saw he was healed, he turned back. He didn't return, he turned back. So it makes me wonder if he ever made it to see the priest.
Well, that's a good question. I'm going to have my theologian in the back answer that.
Well, there's something else to what she noticed there. The others were all healed on their way.
Yeah.
But the last guy was made whole.
Yeah. Okay. So here's another thing that I'm seeing. Did you see something, Tom, in that?
Well, he was a Samaritan. He wasn't under the law.
He wasn't under the law. Yes. That's what I'm thinking. So he probably wasn't required to go to the priest. And I don't think Jesus would have had him go to the priest. But then we have some things we don't quite know, but maybe that gives us some more information. Those were great comments, by the way, guys. And so, we don't know what the other nine did. But they didn't come back and thank Jesus. I mean, now think about this. Somebody just saved you from a deadly disease. How hard would have them to been to come back to at least thank Jesus and then go see the priest? I don't know.
Yes.
But Jesus, this one man does. And according to our story, there's no indication that they did. So I would imagine they probably did not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the other nine were nowhere. And it says only this stranger returned. So strangers are referred to as Gentiles in the Bible. Okay. And so again, you might say, okay, well, Bob, how can you say that? Go over to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 19 and verse 12. Is that in your handout? Did I have that reference?
No.
Okay. It's somewhere between the front page and the back page. Okay. Judges 19, 12. And his master said unto him, we will not turn aside hither into the city of a stranger that is not of the children of Israel. We will pass over to Gibeah. So we have a Jewish story in the book of Judges, Jewish men, and they're not going to stop at a certain city because they are strangers. They are not, let me see where I was again, of the children of Israel. Okay? So turn over to the book of Ruth. Just the next book over, and we'll look at chapter 2 and verse 10. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 10 says, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Who's the person here that you're talking about?
Boaz.
No, it's Ruth, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's Ruth talking.
Okay. So it's Ruth talking, and she's saying, why are you taking notice of me, seeing I am a stranger? She's a foreigner. She's actually a Moabite, if I remember the story right. So she's saying, why to Boaz? Why are you even paying attention to me? Because, you know, I'm kind of a lower class, basically, than you. That's what she's saying. Now turn over, again, I hope you're still in Luke, but turn over to Acts chapter 2, in the same verse, 10. So we'll go to the New Testament. We'll see if this holds up. Of course, we're in Luke, so technically that's still kind of Old Testament. But turn over to Acts 2:10. Acts chapter 2, verse 10. All right, let's read it. Now we have a list of people that are at at this group in the story here. In fact, let's back it up just a little bit. Verse 8. And how, it says, and how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. So that strangers of Rome are basically Gentiles. It wasn't the fact that they were stranger than any of the rest of the people in the group. It's just stranger in the Bible is referred to as someone who is a Gentile, not Jewish. So now we have about three verses. We can go to court of law and we can prove that. Okay, so only the un-Jewish man, the Gentile, returned and thanked Jesus for cleansing him. So Jesus told him to go your way. Your blank hath made you whole. So what goes in your blank there? Your faith. Okay. Again, just a quick little story about faith. Okay. And so I just want to give you, I think this is on page 2 of yours, I guess. No, maybe page 1. I had a little more notes in my handout. It says you are always, or you are saved by faith in both the New and Old Testament. It's always by faith. You hear a word from God and you act on that word of God. Whether you're Old Testament or New Testament, it's the same. We are saved by faith. Right? Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Okay. And then right under that, I wrote down, God is no respecter of persons. And we'll see that all over the Bible. God doesn't care what nationality you are. He just wants to see if you will be obedient to Him. And so this was a big hang-up for the Jewish people because they thought, hey, we're Jewish, we're in. We don't have to do anything to be in with God because we're in because we're Abraham's children. Not necessarily the truth. In fact, it wasn't the truth. You still had to get in by faith. Mm-hmm. Just because you were... It's just like us. I wish my children were saved just because I'm saved, but it doesn't work that way, does it? You're saved by faith and it has to be individual. Okay? And so I'm not saying that my kids aren't saved. They are saved, they're just not doing what God wants them to do. And that's on my tape. That may come back and bite me. Okay. I hope it brings up a discussion because I'll talk about it. Okay, so now I know what I will be talking about in about a week. Okay, and we'll see how that goes. All right, so God is no respecter of persons. Let's look at this a couple places. Go in your Bible, Deuteronomy. I know we're all over the Bible today, James. We've been to the front to the back. So we're back to the Old Testament, very beginning. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verse 17. Deuteronomy 10:17 says, "For the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward." You can't bribe God, and He's not a regarder. He does not regard persons. He's not a respecter of persons. So turn over to Romans chapter 2 and 11. We'll see if we can make that a little bit more clear. Romans chapter 2 and verse 11. This is pretty plain. "For there is no respect of persons with God." Now, I don't think we can get any clearer. And we can see that all over the Bible, that God does not respect who, He doesn't care who you are. Again, He's respecting on how you respond to Him. Okay? All right, so that's one story I wanted to look at. So I want to look at another story with this story about a woman, because, you know, we have some women in here. They'll work on me if I don't get a woman in this about faith. And so Matthew chapter 15. We'll go there and we'll read this story. This is actually one of my wife's favorite stories, I think, in the Bible. Probably should have her teach it to us. But Matthew 15, 21 through 28 says, "Then Jesus went thence, and he parted into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread, and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Okay? So we're going to stop there and again, unpack this story, see what we can learn about faith from this woman. Okay? So, bullet point number one. Jesus was on the coast of Tyre and Sidon. So where is he? Is he in Israel in this story? So he's outside of the landmass of Israel. But here's what's interesting. So is the woman. She's outside of her location too, which kind of tells me something. She has been traveling a little bit to see Jesus. Even if she had to go, and maybe she waited till he got outside of Israel. I don't know. But I know she wasn't from that exact area, because it says she's a Samaritan. Okay? And so she's outside of her area also. And so this woman came to Jesus, and she cried to him, and she said, "Have," and you got a blank there, "mercy on me." Does that sound familiar? That's the same words, basically, the 10 lepers used. "Have mercy on me." I think they said, "Have mercy on us," but basically it's the same. And here's what she admits. She says, "O Lord," she calls Jesus Lord, and she calls him the Son of David. Now what I have here is she used the right title. Title goes in your blank. She admits in her statement when she cries out that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Son of David. He is the rightful heir to the King of Israel, as well as all the other promises that was given to David. Okay? And she says, "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." So now we know why she's come to see Jesus. She has a request. But the point I want to make, she is a Samaritan woman who's traveled outside of her country to go to where Jesus is to ask this request. Okay?
And she says, "Oh Lord, Son of David." I mean, she has to, I mean, she knows who he is.
She has to have some faith in who she is, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And Jesus did not answer her a word. Now that's kind of amazing, because I don't know if I see that anywhere else in the Gospels where Jesus didn't say anything. But with this woman, he doesn't say a thing, okay? Let's go back. Where is that in the story? Somebody help me out here.
Verse 23.
Mm-hmm. But thank you. But he answered her not a word. Okay? Response number one. She goes to Jesus, she gives out a request, nothing. Okay? Next bullet point. So his disciples come to Jesus, and they ask him to send this lady away, for she cried unto them. So I have a question for you. Were they concerned about the lady?
No.
Were they concerned about her daughter?
No.
What were they concerned about?
Annoying.
She's annoying
them. She's bothering them. She won't go away. And I'm like, no, wait a minute. Where's their compassion here? I think Jesus is using this as a teaching point also for them. You know, Jesus is always, you know, 1,000 steps ahead of us. Okay? They were not, they just wanted her to stop annoying them. And Jesus replied to them that he was not sent but to the house of Israel. But it doesn't stop the lady. Then the lady came, and what does she do? She worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. She had the right reverence. Reverence goes in your blank. Because now she's admitting with her stance, you know, she's getting down on, she's bowing down and worshiping him. She's on the ground, just like this last man that came. She has the right reverence. She's already admits who Jesus is. And now she's falling down before him. Okay? But Jesus replied, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Response number two from Jesus, he calls her a dog. That's kind of rough. Okay. And the lady replies, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She had the right humbleness. She was willing to humble herself. Now, I don't know about you, but nobody's called me a dog lately. And if they call me a dog, I'm not probably going to be real happy about it.
Probably wouldn't answer like that, though.
Yeah. I don't know what I would say, Rex. Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking, what would I say? I don't know, but it might not be good.
Yeah.
You don't want to know. Okay. She knew she was not Jewish. She knew she was from a servant class, but she still believed in who Jesus was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Didn't change her faith, basically. And then Jesus answered, oh woman, when he gets her response this time, he says, oh woman, great is thy faith. And he healed her daughter. Response number three from Jesus was, you're getting your request. And so basically, what I want to point out here, her persistence and her faith in who Christ was got her the right response that she wanted. There's only two people in the New Testament or in the Gospels that were told they had great faith by Jesus, and this woman is one of them. He told her, he didn't just say you have faith, he said you have great faith. Okay? So, in this story, Jesus tested the woman's faith in him by not answering her request until the, which time?
Third time.
Third time's a charm, I guess. I don't know. She, a Gentile, called Jesus Lord and the Son of David. She fell down and worshipped him. And finally, she admits that she's a Gentile, she's a servant, and her only hope for her daughter was Jesus. And she believed that only Jesus could heal her. So this is a picture of not just a person that has great faith, but it may also, it should be also, and it probably is, a picture of our prayer life and what it should look like. Sometimes the Lord doesn't answer our prayers right at first. He wants to see how earnest we are. He wants us to know that He can answer our prayer and that we are helpless by ourselves, because that's the same condition this lady was at. She had no other hope.
Yeah.
I have no other place to go that can heal my daughter. Because I would imagine by this, she's tried everything. She's probably like the lady with the issue of blood.
Mm-hmm.
She tried it all. But when she heard Jesus speak, she put her faith in him. She realized who he is. And that's the same as this lady. So Christ, he also wants to see us in a humble position like this lady. He wants us not to give up on our request. And he wants us to keep asking. Why? Because he wants us to show our faith. You know, I'm guilty about that sometimes. Sometimes I'll pray about something and I'm thinking, hey, My God's the God of the whole universe. He created all things. I asked him for it, and I threw it out there, and he knows, and he'll do it. Well, maybe sometimes my prayers aren't answered then because I'm not persistent. Maybe I'm not humble enough. I'm just talking about myself. You guys probably are not there, right? But I know a lady that prayed for 10 years for something. And I kept asking her, what's God telling her? She said, just wait. Okay. That was a learning experience for me. If it's important to you, keep asking the Lord. It may take years for Him to answer your prayer. Years.
You know, some say that you weren't healed because you didn't have enough faith. Well, He healed that girl. She didn't have the faith. Her mom did, even. And through that, if we keep praying for somebody, He can heal them even if they don't have faith.
Right.
At that time.
You know, we pray for people on our board. And I know when I was in a different class, we were praying for Jeremy Bonneson's father. We prayed for him for years.
Mm-hmm.
And as he was getting older, he finally got to the point, he accepted Christ as his Savior.
Mm-hmm.
I believe his wife and Jeremy's stepmother received Christ as her Savior. And so it just kind of snowballs. And so we've seen that we, you know, sometimes it may take years for our prayers to be answered. But you know what? We need to keep praying. We need to keep praying. Because sometimes God wants to see our request, our heart, and how earnest we are. So these are just some little stories in the Bible that hopefully will help build our faith. Because we believe, I don't know, I believe that Christ can do all things. But yet, there's times when I'm wondering, why are certain things happening? And yet, sometimes God just wants, He has the right timing. I guess my timing's not always right. Maybe your timing's not always right. So what do we need to do? Keep praying. Keep being humble. Keep asking the Lord. Keep serving Him. And we'll see how that works. But God knows our heart, and He's going to use the circumstance for His honor and for His glory.
Mm-hmm.
So any final comments? We're going to get out a couple minutes early today. That'd be great.
The same thing as what you're talking about. You know, it can happen now. Well, He waited until the third time to answer her. You know, just making sure, testing our faith.
You know, he tests our faith.
Or teaching us
something. Tests our faith. We need to be persistent. So, all right. Well, let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for these stories in your word, Lord. We thank you for your Bible that you've given us that tells us everything we need to know, how to live our lives, Lord. So I just pray as we read through these stories and as we see these people and how they respond to you and how they just are obedient by taking action and fulfilling your words in their life, Lord, requests were made. People's lives were changed. And Lord, I just pray that we would live that out in our life, that our lives would be an example of the people around us by just our actions, by what we say, by what we do. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to grow our faith. And Lord, I pray that we would show our faith to the people around us to, number one, to give you honor and glory, to see people's lives changed, to see people get saved, people get edified and built up. So when we do stand before you, Lord, at the judgment seat of Christ, we can all be have a statement of being well done, good and faithful servant. And Lord, I pray we would just live up to our class name of walking worthy, Lord, that we would walk worthy of you and what you've done for us. And so we just give you all the honor and the glory. We just pray for the rest of the day, Lord, you give us a great day, a great week, and help us to be a witness for you. In Christ's name, amen.